listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, 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 live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening. Welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, April 28th. My name is Michael Kelly, and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. As always, I'm glad to be here.
Glad to have you. Welcome to those joining us live as well as those listening to the archives. The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. Now, as always, we're going to begin with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are: 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, and one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. All right, so tonight we have a couple of items that we're going to talk about before we get into our main topic. A couple of things to touch on, and the first of which is we have the graduation coming up on Saturday, May 1st.
And if everybody checks the school site, you'll see, for me, I think it's 2 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, but you have to make sure you double check for your time zone.
Absolutely. And remember, whether you're on TF University or Metaphysics Institute, you go to your dashboard, you will see the countdown timer. That countdown timer is the thing to watch. No matter what time zone you're in, that will be accurate. So it's going to be 9 p.m. GMT. It's going to be 5 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time here in the States. So we're looking forward to having everybody join us. You'll find the link on the dashboard, and you should be getting an email with information on how to join as well. So really looking forward to that graduation. Looking forward to celebrating everybody that had diploma or completion of a doctorate, master's, bachelor's in this past year. You're going to be honored on this graduation on Saturday, May 1st. So very much looking forward to it.
Very exciting. But, you know, we have a little oversight from last week we have to take care of too.
We
Michael.
Do.
Yeah. Go ahead.
We had heavily cited an article on how to deal with negentropy. And we were talking about entropy, and there's an opposite to that, negentropy, which is a process that you identify these problem areas in your life, and we borrowed heavily from an article by a Dr. Allison Carr Chellman. And so we just wanted to give her citation for that article that we referenced heavily, and thank her for that. Head of the Department of Learning and Performance Systems at Penn State. So
it was an article on Get Pocket. It was awesome. Really nicely done.
Yes, so. Very good article. Very good.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
All right, after that little bookkeeping, we're going to kind of dive into tonight's topic, which is, I think, prevalent. We've kind of touched on this before several times, and, here and there. Well, because the pandemic's been going on forever and ever. I don't remember a time before the pandemic. I don't remember what the world was like before then. which I think is a typical example of COVID fatigue.
Mm. There's a lot of that going on.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it's, for a lot of people, it's been different. Everybody's had their unique experience and perspective on this pandemic. Yeah. And it is definitely regionally vastly different. But for many, it has been increased isolation. It has been, you know, cabin fever to the nth degree. It has been just sameness. And it can become, you know, weary. Unless you're an introvert like me, and this is paradise. I could just stay and watch Netflix. But if you're a normal person, not like me, who's incredibly introverted, you miss sunlight and going out and about and doing things. Seeing people. I do personally miss, and I am looking forward to, again, I'm getting my second vaccination soon. So my, call her niece, call her goddaughter, depending on your context. I obviously, not in the Christian sense, mm-hmm. but my best friend's daughter, who's, you know, like family to me, her birthday is coming up, and I'm very much looking forward to being able to go out and seeing them.
Nice.
So it's been a very long time because, you know, I've been trying to protect those around me, and, you know, I've had some other conditions that would put me at risk. I'm just trying to be safe, and now that we can kind of get back to a more, well, it's never going to be quite the same, but to what will be the new normal. And that means more freedom and more socializations and more, you know, easing the restrictions as the vaccinations go up and herd immunity goes up.
Well, Dr. Edwards said in the chat that he says, I have to admit this situation has not changed my lifestyle at all. and you know, I hasn't changed mine either. So, there's a lot of things I'd like to do, but you know, you can't. So that's that. But if we get perspective, and I think that that's, and again, a wide generic kind of perspective, is what I'd like to kind of help people with now is in this discussion tonight, is it teaches us about who we are. It teaches us about what kind of people we have become. And I know I can say, you can say, Dr. Edward can say, you know, it really hasn't affected our life, but it has affected how we interact. It has affected, you know, certain, you know, there's been certain limitations put on, you know, we shrug and say, okay, but it's not so easy for a lot of people. And it really does educate me more. How people have come to depend on being entertained. All the entertainment, you know, and yes, you go to work, but aside from work, it's that being entertained. I think Eric Fromm warned us about that back in the 1940s. And, you know, when you have an industrialized kind of society, you have to provide them entertainment, you know. But again, that's a different kind of discussion.
Well, but It's the constant availability of entertainment. We human beings have always entertained ourselves with games.
Sure.
We tell each other stories around the campfire. We always look for entertainment in plays and stories written down, literature became. But it is the, I mean, there is just such a plethora of constant content. And, you know, not that I'm complaining terribly much. I am as guilty as anyone is binge watching a show or something like that. But it is kind of funny how a lot of us can fall into the cycle where we go to work and we work these jobs so that we have money so that we can pay for the entertainment to watch.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But
again, that depends on where you live, and geographics has a lot to do with it. Now, we have to really remember this is a global condition. It's not just your town or your city or your area, it's global. So
absolutely. And I think it would be, you know, perhaps callous to not mention the fact that COVID fatigue has a vastly different meaning, different context in a place like India. India, who is suffering a lot right now through a spike and not having sufficient medical resources.
Yeah.
I hope that they're going to be, you know, there's an influx of international support, which is good to see. And it's not just there either. You know, it's going to be, you know, another surge in Brazil. So we also have to be cognizant of those other places in the world where they have a completely different experience.
But it does show how we think about our lives, you know, and in context, largely, you know, who is listening to this program is North America. And it's how I'm going to get right to it and say we're really a very privileged world and privileged life here.
Technology has just
You know, but Michael and I were talking before the program. I was doing some research about previous pandemics because I find that interesting, you know, the downsides as well as the upsides, what happened socially, economically, and so on. And I'll get to those in a minute, but the difference about this pandemic versus any other time in history is two things. North America has a middle class for the first time historically in the past 100 years. That's big. The other is technology. You know, so that really factors into how well we will manage through this. And I don't mean by, I'm not talking about the numbers of people who are lost or, you know, sick throughout this. I'm not talking about, I'm talking again generically that,
well,
you know, how we deal with it is rather new. So
well,
a lot of people forecasting what'll happen are kind of stymied too, because we don't have a lot of historical reference. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, and this is a, it is only because of our modern technological conveniences that we're even able to keep the, you know, death count as low as it is. The Spanish flu, the influenza of 1918 to 1920, it took tens of millions of lives worldwide.
Yeah.
And it did it because people did not have the luxury of working from home, working remotely on Skype. People didn't have the luxury of being aware of many of the precautions needed to be taken. And so, the living conditions were so much more cramped, especially in the cities. You had these, you know, tenements that were just full of people. And unfortunately, you see the people that live in similar conditions, not just in places like India, but in the United States, in lower income neighborhoods, and with disproportionately affecting, you know, the lowest on the economic ladder, because they can't work from home. They, you know, have to be engaged. And with that comes a certain risk, but we know enough to take simple precautions. You know, wearing a mask, it's a very small thing to ask, so always been a proponent of it. Even if it doesn't do much, it still lowers the probability. And it's all about probability, right? It's all statistics and percentages.
Yeah.
And those translate into real lives. It's not just numbers. So, but go ahead.
Sorry, I just wanted to inject that in these historical views, the two other pandemics that are written about, and especially the one I read out of Berkeley, it was published in June of last year, was the bubonic plague in the 1300s, and that was devastating, but it largely did affect people who had low immune systems, who didn't have proper nutrition, and so on, which was
so
a lot
of most of Europe.
Yeah, exactly. And then the other pandemic that they refer to is the North American natives, the indigenous people of North and South America. When the Europeans came, aside from that dynamic, along with it came all kinds of devastating diseases that the immune systems had no defense for.
And nobody understood at the time, and how could they? They didn't have the perspective to understand how you know, disease worked at that level. You know, and it's the sad truth that if it was disease that ripped through indigenous populations, that is one of the only reasons that Europeans were able to expand as much as they did. The French originally turned down the region of New England because it was, you know, bustling with, you know, indigenous tribes and communities, and they felt it would have been too much, and they were somewhat, you know, they were defensive of their territory, so they turned it away. But when the Puritans showed up, plague from the French contact had ripped through the area, and it was, the population was depleted. It was something that often doesn't get enough attention.
I know, and that's why I wanted to bring it up, So
yeah, thank you.
And I appreciate you expanding on that, Michael, because I, in reading that in this, you know, in this article, I thought, thankfully, you know, the three pandemics included the North American indigenous populations, along with the bubonic plague and again the 1918 flu. And I'd like to add that the only reason it's called the Spanish flu was a political reason. Mm-hmm. It had been going on all over the world, likely beginning from the U.S. World mm-hmm. War I was in effect, and nobody would politically write about it in newspapers until somebody in Spain said, okay, that's it, screw you guys, I have to write an article about this. And so they called it, because that article came out of Spain, they called it the Spanish flu.
There was the war going on at the time, and nobody in the war wanted to admit that there was a pandemic because it would make them look weak. So none of them wanted to look weak, so they were all lying to each other. And now you have these soldiers crammed into barracks where they're spreading this disease easily. But the Spanish were not at war, and so their press didn't have the restrictions that the other nations
That's
did.
That's true, too.
And you know, the king got it, so it became colloquially known that. But it is that there's three realistic paths to the Spanish flu, how it originated, and two of them come from the United States. And so it's interesting how that kind of dynamic works. But, you know, pathogens are going to originate all over the world. You're not going to hold, you know, there's been a rise of anti-Asian, especially anti-East Asian, you know, hate in many parts of the Western world, and which is kind of, you know, it's just, what can you say? It's sad and disgusting. You know, there's nothing else to be said about it. But
it doesn't, blaming just isn't going to help anybody. So it's a situation of where are we at and where are we going? So
exactly.
Look, I think the more tired people get, and again, I'm speaking generically, I think the angrier a lot of people are getting, and they need to blame somebody. They need to point the finger, and they need to do something. And it's just kind of getting ridiculous. So it really is about all of us taking a breath and saying, this is temporary. I was driving my grandkids home the other day, and we passed, you know, the anti-maskers with their signs. And, yeah, it happens in this little town, too. And... oh yeah, my granddaughter says, she's 13, says, yep, anti-maskers. And so we were having a talk about it, and I said, you know, one day you guys, you're going to talk to your kids and your grandkids that you lived through that, you know, that there was a couple of years where you had to wear a mask and limitations on socializing. And my granddaughter said, yep, like you say, more and more, it's all temporary. I said, that's right, it's all temporary. So we're really fortunate. Now, I know there's a lot of controversy about the vaccine. I hear you all, people. But let me say that there are at least some, you know, medical options now that have not been availed historically.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not going to get in pros or cons of anything, but there is, you know, vaccines that are helping at the moment.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that they will continue to develop. Yeah, where would we be without,
flu vaccine, for example.
Yeah.
I mean,
where would we be without penicillin? Where would
Or the polio vaccine, or the smallpox vaccine, which virtually eradicated the disease, which smallpox, by the way, is the plague that ripped through indigenous populations.
So it is, there's reason to be optimistic that this is temporary. And I really feel that, again, in my... every intuition says, if we can hang in there another few months, you know, and you start developing your herd immunity, there are more people who are being vaccinated, you know, and as we get there, it's just a few more months. COVID's going to be around a long time. It's never going away now.
And it will always
mutate.
Well, that's the thing. This particular variant of a coronavirus is, you know, going to mutate, and it's going to hang around, but... there have always been coronaviruses. They've always been, and they've always mutated, and that's what they do. That's the constant battle. And the people talk about the barbarism of humanity against one another, or even, you know, nature being rough, but there is nothing that has killed more human beings. Not war, not, old age, nothing more than microorganisms, viruses and bacteria.
Mosquitoes.
Transmitting those pesky bacteria and viruses. You know, they have devastated populations. And it's something that, thankfully, we have technology to deal with. And these vaccines are, you know, really cutting-edge technology, and they could be applied to, you know, different treatments down the road for things. Oh, I am vaguely trying to recall an article. I don't want to overreach, but I think they were saying that you could even create things to target cancer cells. So this is kind of a new science that we're embarking on. And, you know, there is some concern about new science, so I get it. I totally understand. And, yeah. You know, I've been vaccinated, so I personally didn't have many side effects, although I hear a constant loud buzzing that won't ever go away, but I can see in the dark, so I think it's a good trade-off. So, that, you know, it changes your DNA
mosquito.
Just a little bit. But
it's that mosquito in your house. And again, I think that I know that Dr. Stevens says months. I say, yeah, it's just months. A few more months. And I know it feels like, gee, that's going to be a long time, or maybe you think that's a short time. But the restrictions will begin to lift. Canada has had a tough time in getting vaccines, and it's because some dumb things were done in the past where we don't actually have a pharmaceutical manufacturing plant in Canada, you know, or one that can do this kind of stuff. So we have to, ship them in. But the statistic is, if we can get 70% of the people vaccinated, with 20% of those people with a second shot, the restrictions will be lifted. Now, I think that we'll all still have to be aware, you know, it's to stay awake. But one of the things that really got me at the beginning of this, of COVID and the pandemic was, wash your hands, people, you know, be careful around, and think, why weren't people washing their hands before? People got very lazy, I think, and it taught us more about disease and germs, and, you know, it's been a big awakening that way.
You thought about not infringing on my right not to wash my hands? You know? Jeez. There was somebody who made a great, you know, kind of sarcastic, satirical point. They were going to a restaurant, and the employees were saying things like, you know, you can't infringe on my rights. I don't have to wash my hands after coming out of the bathroom and things like that.
Uh-huh.
And just following all these, you know, going against all these health protocols. And, you know, that's another thing that the pandemic has done. It has created more cultural flashpoints where it has become tribal again. One side versus the other. One side does things this way. The other side does things a different way. A lot of times, just to irritate the other side. So, and it's ridiculous. Why do we have such a tribal behavior? Facts are facts.
This is what I say. You do what you want to do. If you want to get sick and die, hey, it's on your clock. Don't take other people with you.
Right.
You know, and it's really about considering others and who we're contaminating or not. And this makes us more mindful of our words, our energy, and just how much we rely on each other, but how we impact each other. And I tell you, social media is teaching us huge lessons about that. There are people who just love to antagonize, like you say.
And it's a very human thing.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be a hypocrite. And yes, I have been on Twitter and I have gotten into a little debate. And sometimes I've gotten a little irked. So I have intentionally poked at my philosophical opponent from time to time. But to be fair, I always enjoy a good debate, a good vigorous back and forth. But it's... I'm just vamping while I'm trying to really kind of think about how I want to say. It doesn't need to become an us versus them thing again.
Yeah.
You know, we can get through this without becoming tribal. That's really the crux of what I'm trying to get out.
Well, I'm trying to keep up with the chat here and some things. I know Dr. Jeff is here tonight, and he says his son in high school is having a bit of a rough go doing online school. This, I think, is we really need to address how this does affect young people. Keep in mind that young people were born into technology. Mm-hmm. That is their only reality. It's not my only reality. And I think if you're over 40, 45, you have some kind of memory of no technology or no internet. But young people, I think that this is hardest on them who rely on that social development of school, mm-hmm. as well as, you know, the way the neural pathways work in the brain, you know, with technology. And, you know, my heart goes out to them. It's how to keep them engaged in yep. other ways.
And especially formative years.
Oh, it's really critical. I mean, I see it in my grandkids. They're not quite as old as high school. However, it's had an impact. But with, and I know Jeff is a great dad, so I know to engage with these young people, it's how to have conversations again, how to think philosophically, how to find out who they are, what do you think, how do you think. I think one of the most shameful things that I've ever seen in my life, honestly, I'm not pointing the finger to anybody, but of all the young people I've read for in the last 30 years, and a young, I mean under 25, maybe 10% can answer my question when I say, what do you think? 90% of them will say, what do you mean? I say, well, what do you think? Well, I don't know. I say, well, maybe you should think. Think about it. To make your own decisions. Because nobody had asked them how they think, how they process, how do you feel, you know, what's your alternative, what are your options, and just kind of engaging to get that critical thinking going, you know, and it really is, it's hard for me to see young people not, like, it's kind of like assuming they're going to grow up by themselves and everything will be fine. You know, and it's just not the way it works. Yeah, they all grow up, but you might not like what they turn out to be, and that's on parents in a lot of ways. I'd say, you know, again, there's always the exceptions.
This is true, and I will say this: you know, you need to have in-person interaction to have healthy social development. That being said, there are kids that are going to be more distanced, that are going to be more socially apart, physically, in this pandemic. But I also think that human beings have a wonderful way of adapting and also compensating. So, you know, the lessons that would have been learned during that period will still be learned. It'll just happen in a little bit of a different way. And this generation will adapt and they will learn how to live in this new world. Every generation born into the world has a unique ability to manage it.
Some of the most powerful stories come from especially young people who've endured an injury that's put them in a hospital bed for a couple of years, or a disease that has affected their life. They found music, they find art, they find other things, other ways. Their lives were just jammed on hold. My grandkids here last weekend, we watched that movie. I can't remember the name of it, but the girl,
it's the movie with that person in it. The actor?
The surfboarder girl who lost her arm in Hawaii from a shark.
I don't recall the title, but yeah, I'm familiar.
And, I mean, what she did to overcome, I mean, her life, gee, like, this is huge. So,
I mean, I thought I've had bad days.
You know, it's the adversity of things that happen to individuals on a daily basis. It's just now this is more widespread in larger populations, you know, mm-hmm. of this is, you know, this is the hand that we're all dealt at the moment. So, you know, let's just roll with it. So hang in there, everybody. It's all temporary. If you've run out of art ideas, if you've run out of books to read, if you've, you know, find yourself kind of walking in and out of the rooms wondering what to do, or you're sleeping too much, shift your brain, shift your gears. There's still lots of other things that can be discovered.
Absolutely. And that's exactly what you need to do to fight fatigue. Find something that rejuvenates you. Exactly. Find something that engages you creatively. I can speak the English language still. And just, you know, find something that's rejuvenating for you, whether that's binge watching a, you know, TV show, whether that's going for a nice walk, getting out and getting some vitamin D sunshine, or, you know, whatever it is. So find little things you can do each and every day to keep rejuvenating your spirit and your soul, and we'll make it through this. So I think it's come to that time.
It has. Audra's already put her name in the chat, Michael.
I had thrown out a request for people to throw their names in, and I, you know, encourage you to throw your name out if you'd like a card. I'll start tallying them up, and while we get some names going, there's also been a chat going on about, you know, technology these days and what it was like. I will say that I am happy to remember a time where we didn't have cable TV. I had actually had a black and white TV, although it was old. But I had a black and white TV that was in my room when I was a kid, in the early 90s. And my grandparents did have one of those giant cabinet TVs with a record player on it that I think Wendy was alluding to. So, fun times to go down memory lane.
Well, I remember a time with no TV. So.
No, you don't. They've had TVs.
No, I do.
We
didn't get a television in our house till I was 8 for sure, but I'm pretty sure it was when I was 9.
Yeah.
So we didn't have TV. Yeah, that was all. There was a world before television.
Well, they had radio, and I don't understand, when the radio was on, everybody would still be staring at the radio, even though there was no imagery. But I guess it makes sense. And then before that, when there was no radio, I don't know. I guess people just went to bed early. It's fascinating.
You know, Michael, I'm just going to let you in. I'd go to my grandparents, and they had no power, and there was nothing.
Books.
But well, I remember as a young kid, they finally got some electricity to the house. They had a radio that they would only listen to on Sunday night, and they would do exactly that, all sit around the radio on a Sunday night and look at it. It's true. Anyway, funny. Let's get on with some cards here. I think we have Audra first. So
we do, and I'm trying to. It is a fun, busy chat. I'm trying to get some names down, but let's see, Audra. We have number 40, relationships for you.
All right.
And healthy relationships are interdependent and win-win. They are not dependent or codependent. Accept others for who they are, and not for what they believe. It means don't be judgmental. Otherwise, end the relationship regardless of who it is with. For healthy relationships, we must add more than we subtract. This card can refer to a healthy or toxic relationship, or to the relationship of one thing to another. So, hope that connects.
Well, in support of that, Audra, is the Emperor. Now, I'm going to take it in support of relationships. You could be dealing with people in... like a power structure, power levels, maybe an authority figure. What I want to say to you is that we're all equal, just respecting what our jobs are and our roles. And if you're dealing with somebody who happens to have an ego, look past the ego of their self-importance, because that's often what an emperor does. And speak with your own confidence, your own self-certainty, because you'll be acknowledged for that. Don't compete with power, rather just be in your own power. So I hope that helps if there's a situation going on or you're encountering that. Hope it makes sense.
All right.
Oh.
And I think we have Elena next.
Elena. All right.
This is a classic, number 28. Do no harm and do right.
Okay.
do no harm, do right is the most powerful principle to live by. Doing no harm includes words and actions to the self and others. Doing right means to also take positive action where there is a need without infringing on the free will or rights of others. Always strive for the highest good for all concerned, including yourself. Do no harm and do right establishes the foundation for all other principles. Good card.
Yeah, and Elena, I got the Five of Diamonds in support of that. And what I want to say is there's always a time to walk away. Do no harm, do right. We may want to affect change. You may want to have a discussion, but sometimes it is better to walk away. Not giving unsolicited advice is a really tough one. Not standing up for yourself at times is a tough one. Sometimes it's just take the high road and walk away. So I'm going to stick with that because that's what I feel about this particular message. And that way you're not harming yourself and you're doing the right thing for yourself. Not all situations can be dealt with through discussion. So that's just what I want to say to you. I hope that makes sense.
All right. Good.
Sorry. Dr. Shirley next, I think, if I have this right, Michael.
Yep, I have Dr. Shirley as well. And I have number 9, empowerment.
Good one.
Let's see. All right. Taking your power back is literally all-powerful and absolutely priceless. It alone is the solution in principle for virtually every problematic circumstance in your life, from a bad relationship to spiritual harassment. Retaining your power means to retain your wholeness. When you are whole, you are empowered. Empower others by doing no harm and doing right. Sharing the best of yourself is encouraging and uplifting to yourself and others. Good card. And we can see how do no harm, do right is really a foundational principle when we can see it come up in another other context.
Well, the Four of Diamonds in support of that, Shirley, what I like about this is sometimes it's important to be miserly. Sometimes it is that empowerment is taking care of yourself first and holding on to what you have. And even if that's your energy, you know, you can't give away what you don't have. So keeping in mind that being a little bit selfish at times is a good thing. And that helps you regenerate some of your own energy and maybe even some finances here, organizing your life. So I'd say take inventory a little bit and, you know, stay firm. I get the feeling that maybe you're in that little state of flux where you're not sure if you're supposed to take a move right now or make a move or take action. And it's just be miserly for a moment. That will help to continue to empower you.
Yeah. So. A good message.
And Edward. We have Edward next. Dr. Edward.
And Dr. Edward, I have wild card number 4, unknowable.
Oh, that's a powerful one.
There are mysteries in the universe. Not all can be known or predicted. A focus of deliberate intent can reveal valuable unforeseen knowledge for what lay ahead. Remember, we only see what we know and believe. The universe is unfolding in ways that are unknowable to you or your existing ways of thinking. Change your mind, and you change your world. Change your mind, and what was once unknowable may now be knowable. Listen to the subtle leadings and incitations of your higher self. What was once unknowable is now knowable. Remain flexible and open to change.
Edward, King of Diamonds. That's awesome. I think you've been working on, you know, a certain rite of passage for yourself for a while now and got your thinking cap on and looking at other possibilities for yourself, applying yourself in new ways. And this is that those little whispers of saying, Edward, you know, go this way, or Edward, kind of, you might get them in your dream, you might get that little feeling, something might be holding you back a little bit, but I think there's some industriousness coming your way. So as the King of Diamonds in the Unknowable, it's of how do you want to find that purposefulness now? You know, where that's going to go, where there is value for value. So it's not throwing your good energy out there with nothing in return. It's that exchange. So listen to those little whispers. That's exciting.
I like it. It's a good message. All right. And on my list, I believe we have Dr. Jeff next.
Mine too.
All right. Love it when things sync up. Ah, got another wild card. Wild card number 8, freedom.
Good one.
Let's see.
I wanted to sing a song on that when you said freedom. It's kind of started coming to my head. Sorry.
Freedom is inspiring. All right, the card. Freedom is a state of being. It is an unencumbered mind that can remain open and move forward. Freedom is the ability to recreate the self, shedding old ideas that no longer serve any purpose for present and future evolution. Freedom is the knowing of who and what one is as a sovereign being of the universe. Freedom means one can be or do anything one wants within the limits of do no harm and do right.
Jeff, I don't know what's going on in your life, but you got the star as a support to freedom. That's water and consciousness and the flowing of life. And first of all, I'd say that you're going with the flow of these COVID days pretty well. I think that in some ways it served you really well that you could dig deep to find out how you really can apply yourself to life and what fits you best. And I think there's some revelations coming your way, to be honest. I think this is a little prelude, that freedom to just be you without any inhibitions whatsoever. That's very exciting, my friend. It is.
Well, that's just, and couldn't ask for anything better in life than the freedom to be yourself.
Mm. You know, before we go on to pulling cards for Wendy, Wendy mentioned in the chat that Edward had the King of Diamonds before. He also had, I'm understanding, Unknowable before.
Hmm. Yeah, I saw that. It is very interesting, and I always used to joke that Edward would get repeat cards, so I'd always joke I was going to try to pull a card that Edward hasn't gotten before. And but yeah, I do see a lot of repeat occasionally. You know,
yeah, that's interesting.
And a lot of times cards show up, you know, even for different people, but they, so I feel like some cards just tend to show up more often than others.
That's called the, in my world, cosmic 2x4 keeps hitting you until you get it. All right, so Wendy being our card keeper, for those in the archives listening to this and you didn't catch on, Wendy keeps tally of cards every week, and we're going to draw cards for Wendy now.
All right, let's see if we can get a, are we going to get a new one or a repeat for Wendy? Let's see. Number 15, belief system, knowledge base. Let's see. We each operate life from an existing belief system, and sometimes the solution direction lies outside of our belief system. Equally, when knowledge is expanded, a belief system calls for revision. Consider that opening the mind for more information and knowledge may be required, subsequently adjusting a belief system. Know that the knowledge you seek is within.
Well, in support of that, I got the Justice card. Now, Justice is about fairness, equitability, thinking of it in that way. There are times in readings where I take it to literal meaning of it could be legal documents, legalities, paperwork, tax time, that kind of thing. But with belief system, and looking at the Justice card, that has to do with how you see fairness and equitability in applying yourself. And maybe you are shifting some of your ideas and, revamping some of your thoughts or early programming. You know, Wendy, I just had a flash that you might hear from somebody from your childhood and change your mind about them. Interesting. I don't know where it came from. It just said someone you knew when you were very young, and it's now you're going to change your mind about them because you're not seeing that fairness and equitability, you know, that sense of, you know, right and wrong. That was just a flash.
Oh, so you kind of get the intuition it's going to go from a positive to a negative. I was thinking it may go from a negative to a positive also.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Then you don't invest any more energy in it, mm-hmm. Right?
True.
There you go. Hope it makes sense and have to keep us posted.
Yeah. And I'm just going to keep an eye peeled. I'm somewhat curious. I was hoping that I might have been able to pull a repeat card for Wendy. I don't know if she's ever gotten that one before, but I always like to see patterns. So it's been
Thank you to everybody for the feedback of the cards. I sure appreciate, you know, everybody from Audra, Elena, you know, Edward, Jeff. I mean, thanks for the feedback. And, it's good. Even Jeff says, thanks, guys. He relates a little bit to what we pulled for him last week. So, Wendy. Very true, Dr. Vicky, all of that. Though I did hear from an old friend today. It was a great conversation. We were on the phone for a couple of hours. Ooh, see, I had a flash. Well, pay attention.
Interesting.
Just pay attention. That's all I'm saying. But, there you go.
You know, I would say that we've been talking about, you know, fatigue tonight. We've been talking about COVID fatigue. We've touched on how that can lead to some spiritual fatigue, but spiritual fatigue is kind of its own beast, isn't it?
It is.
What do you think about having that as a topic?
Let's do it. Spiritual fatigue is really very, very specific. How to isolate that from emotional or mental is really tricky, but it's a very real thing. Certainly in my reality, I'd love to talk about that.
All right. So here at Spirit of Life, we always come up with our topics on the air and on the fly. That's the Spirit of Life guarantee. So, but no, we touched base on that before. I think it's going to be a good topic. I think it's going to be good for me. So I hope you all can enjoy the ride as well. But I think that it's, you know, that time where you just kind of get fatigued for multiple reasons and spiritually. So we're going to have a look into that. Now, of course, that's going to be after our graduation, which, again, just want to close out. We are looking forward to that again, Saturday, May 1st. Make sure to check your dashboards. It's going to be both a IMHS and TFU graduation. So remember, if you've gotten a degree in the last 12 months, make sure your name is on the roster. You can find the roster and those details on the dashboard on either school site. So check your local time for the start, but remember it's going to be the countdown. So once that hits zero, we're starting. And we're looking forward to having you there. So a lot of congratulations are going to be going out. A lot of people, you know, have done some great things and turning their lives around by just, you know, thinking differently is one of the biggest things that can come from it. So,
excellent.
Well, Dr. Hunter, any last thoughts?
Thank you very much for everybody. Just see you Saturday. I'll be there.
All right, looking forward to it. And, of course, thank you all for joining us tonight. Thank you for coming together and giving us that feedback and chat. Lively discussion tonight, loved it. And looking forward to having you Saturday. Looking forward to seeing you all next week on Wednesday when we kind of get into the more spiritual side of fatigue and exhaustion. Kind of how are we going to recharge our kind of spiritual batteries. So,
exactly.
Looking forward to that discussion. Until then, listen, think, learn, grow. And live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.